things. And so what was she doing? I mean, you know, like haunting the temple? I mean, this 106-year-old woman? I mean, she would have really been a fixture, right? So let's see what she does here. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak to him of all to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. The redemption of Jerusalem. So I'm just saying, it seems to me that with Anna, she realized the redemption of Jerusalem would be the end. It would be the fulfilling of everything God had said. It's the end of the mission, basically. Okay, so we're reading Zechariah this week on the 28th. The burden of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretched out the heavens and formed the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. Behold, I am about to make Jerusalem a cup of staggering to all the surrounding people. Jerusalem shall be inhabited again and be in its place. And through this whole chapter, chapter 12, it talks about God lifting up Jerusalem. In fact, making Jerusalem something that the nations will hate and want to attack. Doesn't that sound like what's happening now? Just because some politicians say, hey, we're going to make Jerusalem the capital of Israel. What a radical idea. It has been the capital of Israel. And God has a special relationship both to Israel and to Jerusalem. God said, Zion will be my home. That's where Jesus is going to set up his government. And so for Anna, here's the thing. As she walks into the temple, whatever is going on there, she picks up with what the Holy Spirit is doing, and she starts praising God, thanking him, and speaking to everyone she knows, and she must know a lot of people after 84 years, speaking to everyone she knows who is waiting for God to come and redeem Israel. That is another way of saying, fulfill the plan. Is that something worth devoting your life to? I'd say that's something that takes a lot of faith. For 84 years, she could have remarried. She could have probably had kids. She could have done a million things. But something about losing her husband, and we have no clue what all that meant there. But the Holy Spirit was upon her, otherwise she couldn't have been a prophetess. And somehow he had laid it in her heart that the mission was more important than anything else in her life. Now, the thing is, when we're thinking of this next year, we're not really thinking of, you know, giving it, you know, like, I don't know, if you want to, like radically, you know, do some weird thing. But how weird is it when you realize that whatever is going on in this planet, if you take Jesus out of it, is just not worth living. If you take Jesus and the mission out of what we're doing, why are we even here? I mean, how much stuff can you buy to fill that hole? How many adventures can you have to make you forget that there's something wrong going on this planet? Wouldn't it be interesting if this year we could devote ourselves a little bit more to thinking about Jesus has come. This thing is going to be fulfilled. We need to be crying out. And see, that's that whole thing that comes back to Jesus. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find people crying out like Anna and like Simeon? And you know, it's really interesting. When Paul talks about widows in the Old Testament in First Timothy, he says, a widow that should be enrolled, one of the things she does is she does not cease to pray, giving supplications and prayers night and day. There's something about turning your heart to the mission and just praying and saying, Lord, you know, I know what life is about here, and the thing is, I'm tired of it. We need to see people saved. I need to be pouring my life into something that's going to matter. When the Lord comes, will he find faith on the earth? Are there going to be people crying out? Are we just going to kind of do the, you know, well, I pray before meals. I really do. And as I'm nodding off at night, I pray. That's an important one. But will it be the yearning of our hearts? Is there a hunger? Is there a thirst? If you read the last bit of Revelation today, Jesus says once again, if you're thirsty, come to me. Those are the people who respond in faith. The hungry, the thirsty, and it's not just about salvation. It's about seeing something better. It's about seeing people saved. It's about seeing people rescued out of this mess. And I think that faith, you know, the plan for the new year might be just to pray for hunger. To really thirst and really mean it. It could be something like reading a one-year Bible or reading through a Bible. And if you're willing to start, then we're willing to help and encourage and get together in a group or whatever it is. But you know what's interesting about this is that it isn't really about anything other than your own relationship with the Lord, right? But the ripple effect of that can be great. This last week, what is today? Would have been last week, I guess. On the 20th, my first wife, Beth, died 15 years ago. And, you know, I didn't keep a lot, you know, because I'm a guy. But I did keep a few things. I kept the last card that she ever wrote for me. In the last card that she ever gave me, it said, I will miss seeing you in the morning. Reading your Bible. Oh, yay. She remembers me reading my Bible. But here's the deal. I didn't do that for her. I did that for me. And she caught on. And she got a Bible and she read it every morning too. Just because of my example. I didn't mean to be an example to her. I mean, I was just amazed that she just wanted a one-year Bible and started reading it. I've never told Laura to read a one-year Bible. At all. She just caught on. Guys, you want to be an example? You want to do something that is sort of on the edge of weird? Read your Bible every day. But do it for yourself. Because that's how the Holy Spirit connects with us. You know, we think the charismatic church has the inside edge on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And he responds to us reading the word. That's where his power is. You read what Jesus says in John 14. But that's something you could do this year. You could break out and do something like that. You could actually devote yourself to learning how to share your faith. You don't have to wait until I or one of the elders or somebody comes and says, here, memorize this. You can do it now. Where I was in my life, I was a seminary student. And I woke up one day and then realized I don't know how to share my faith. Well, I got to do something about it because I really do take this stuff seriously. So I went into a church and they had a cabinet where they had all this evangelism explosion stuff. I looked this way, I looked that way, I stole one. They didn't even care. That stuff was just rotten in there. I mean, I think I told somebody later. But the thing was that I sat down and I had to memorize it. And it paid dividends. You can do that. But the thing is, when Jesus comes and he finds faith on the earth, to look for faith on the earth, what he's looking is for hungering. He's looking for thirsting. That's, by the way, in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is telling his disciples, blessed are those who hunger. Blessed are those who thirst. He's talking to the disciples. Because out of that then comes a willingness to reshape your life, retool your life, retool your direction, and say no to a few things, but say yes to a few other things, and get in the Word, and get in the hunt for seeing God fulfill His promises That's what Anna and Simeon are all about. I'm looking at this going, Lord, why did you even put this in the Bible? And then it, you know, after a certain amount of prayer, the Lord said, look at their faith. These are people who wanted to live a different life. And they did it. And we always say, oh, weird people. But look what they did. One held Jesus. And one got to pronounce him in the courts of the temple where women were looked down on. And here she is talking about him out loud. And then you got this young couple who reshaped their lives too because they realized how precious this thing was that God had done. So Joseph decides to break off his career. They decided to stay down there and he'll pick up some odd jobs. So at the end of 40 days, they could be right there at the temple. What a cool thing to do. What does God want you to do this year? Do something. Don't let this year look like the last year. Do something. And reach out to some people who need the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for these stories. You know, I'm kind of very impressed with Luke, you know. He wanted Theophilus to have the truth, an orderly account so he could understand that what he was believing was definitely accurate. And here in this orderly account, you put in Anna and Simeon. And obviously, they're meant to be examples to us of giving more of our lives and more of our hearts. Jim Elliot is the guy who said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And we're so afraid of giving more, thinking that somehow it's going to turn us into fools if we were just to lay everything out for Jesus. And the reality is that Jesus would give us so much more back. And our lives would look so different, and there would be blessing, there would be the work of the Holy Spirit, there would be amazing things that would happen. And Father, I challenge myself with this, and we challenge ourselves as a congregation. We're moving into a new building, something that you provided for us. But Father God, I want something different. I want something more. I really want to see fruit. I really want to see lost people saved. I really want to see disciples made. I want to see Jesus lifted up in a way I've never seen it yet in my life. And that's worth being on my face and crying out to you about. And I just pray that you would move our hearts so that we would really live for the praise and glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Y'all are going to go home now and overeat, right?
Yes.
Okay. Or maybe I am. Just a couple things that I want to share with you, announcement-wise, is we will be meeting here next Sunday, okay? So that we can get everything as finalized as we can over there. So our first Sunday will be the 14th. There will be no potluck next week. So we're going to break tradition. What a radical thing to do. But there are a lot of people working over there. I mean, this was a great week. I mean, Travis did an amazing job of being the foreman, and Jeff was over there. I don't think there was a wall. Pat, I think, outworked Jeff. And Andy was over there. I mean, and Elena was over there, and Paul was over there. I mean, these guys were like going nuts working. I mean, just amazing. There were some Adams over there, a lot of people. Daniel was over there and doing a lot of cleanup work. And then, of course, we cannot forget our senior citizens. But I don't know who they are. But Malin helped quite a bit over there. I mean, I've worked with Malin, or I've seen Malin work. Actually, working with him was just sort of like trying to clear stuff out of his way. But amazing guy. Did a great job over there. And the thing is again, if you're driving by and you see cars out there, just drive into the lot and go into the building, okay? You'll be amazed to see that. Now, one of the other things we need are pews gone. I mean, if you haven't given, you haven't given a gift to someone, give them a pew, please. It's sort of at the point where we just want the Lord to take them away, but hurricanes and tornadoes don't happen this time of year. So there is a church in Juarez, Mexico, that's thinking of taking a bunch of them. If you have signed up for a church, we will help you get it home, okay? And again, they make great birdhouses and other things. But we really want them gone. We need to get them outside, and we will get them outside so that on the 14th we can have, well, actually this Tuesday we can have everything cleaned, and that means the dust out of the rugs and the whole deal so that we can get ready for worship service on the 14th. Now, to conclude the announcements, I'd like Janice to come up and say something about Camp Rock.
Registration. You have until 11:59 tonight. I just want to remind everybody about that if you haven't registered your kids. I registered Francis yesterday, so you're not going to run for crap, maybe. Hold your spot. It's just $25 for right now. There's a payment plan. And actually, I would suggest you do that because the church is going to come alongside our children and help carry the cost of camp. For our kids that are going, I would like to know if you have registered kids so that I can kind of keep it total and I can get with Larry and the board and let's know how many kids we have registered going. I just wanted you to know, Art posted on Camp Rock's website on the 18th of December that Core Senior and Deer Camp 1 were already at 20% capacity for 2018. If you've been following Camp Rock and listened to Art or anything, you know that the growth out there is growing rapidly and it's filling up quickly. The Lord's doing wonderful things out there. And I really want to see all of our kids get to go that want to go out there. So that's all. It's just a reminder that until 11:59 to get it done.
Thank you. And with that, in talking with Art, he also wanted to encourage us to look around our neighborhoods and find kids who could go to Camp Rock. And that is also a part of that, the monies that we have here to sponsor kids to go to Camp Rock. So if you have neighbor kids,